Welcome to the Agency of the Month, sponsored by Ardent MC on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This month's agency is the Department of Homeland Security.
I'm Gillian Brockhill. Our guest today is John Wagner, Executive Director of Admissibility and Passenger Programs in the Office of Field Operations at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having us in today.
So let's jump right into it. First, tell me about your top program priorities right now.
Well, first and foremost, it's supporting the anti-terrorism mission. And then it's looking at, are we running as efficient operations to be able to support our priority missions and ensuring we've got the right attention paid to and the right resources dedicated, to those priority missions. You know, are we keeping trade and travel secure, efficient, facilitative, and welcoming, but at the same time not forgetting about, the critically important mission of our anti-terrorist activities.
What specifically are you working on in anti-terrorism?
So we do a lot of advanced analysis of the data we get on travelers, work closely with airlines and a lot of foreign partners. We analyze this data days in advance of travel this begins. And, we like to do a lot of things in advance of the person boarding the aircraft, and we can look for ways to address any type of document deficiencies, any types of, security concerns that we would have before the person even is able to board the aircraft overseas. And, we work through different authorities with different agencies in different countries and different personnel structures, to be able to do that.
What technologies are you using to facilitate that?
So for that, we just do a lot of database processing and a lot of some of our advanced targeting tools to be able to go through a lot of this information, be able to identify the what we would see as risk factors being present on a traveler.
And what is the Model Ports Initiative?
So the Model Ports Initiative is something we kicked off several years ago in close coordination with the airport authorities and the airlines, our partners in a lot of these efforts. But it was all about making, and of course the Department of State was a key player in it too, and other government agencies, but it was all about making the arrivals process more welcoming, more facilitative, more efficient, about reducing travelers' apprehension about coming to the United States. So part of it was educating people about the processes and procedures we're going to go through when people arrive, like taking the fingerprints of foreign visitors, the types of questions we would normally ask, how to fill out certain forms when they arrive, and really getting them prepared and reducing that that apprehension level that people had heard about the process was becoming. And then building, welcoming arrivals areas, putting multimedia presentations up in our CBP processing areas with a welcoming message for people that, welcome to the United States. There's a great place to visit. There's a great place to study, great place to do business. We welcome you here. And yet, at the same time, but building facilitative processes to support them, like our trusted traveler programs, global entry, giving frequent travelers the ability to use an automated kiosk to clear through CBP. And then having passenger service managers, what we called was uniformed supervisory personnel out and about on the floor, interacting with travelers, answering questions, helping address any of their concerns right there on site, really to work through a lot of the issues that might arise in processing international travel. So really make a concerted effort, to focus on that and focus on, people's perception of the process, understanding why it's important, and yet we do it in a way to keep people safe and secure, but do it efficiently at the same time.
Walk me through the process of implementing these kiosks. How do you do that?
So for global entry, it was a matter of building the technology itself. So it was building a self-service kiosk that would confirm a person's fingerprints. It would read their passport. It would transmit data into our enforcement databases to look for any types of information we would have on the person, accepting their customs declaration questions on a touch screen, taking their photograph, but then also building the application and enrollment systems. So there's an online application travelers fill out beforehand. So it's a matter of building procedures and operations around that to collect the information, have an automated ability for us to review these applications, because we're doing, 40, 50,000 applications a month now for all of our different programs, putting the procedures in place to interview travelers, fingerprint them, making sure that these are indeed low-risk and trusted travelers, and they're frequent travelers familiar with the process, and then building the marketing and the outreach and, you know, working with our partners in the travel and tourism industries to get the word out about the program and how people enroll and explain what it is and what the benefits are. And then really just going through the sort of, you know, the internal government workings of getting your privacy notices published, your database notices published, getting regulations published, you know, making sure you've got all of that type of work done, you know, which can, you know, take some time and a lot of effort by a lot of people within the organization to make sure that stuff's posted.
So how do you work with TSA and other government agencies so that you know you're covering all the bases, but you're not being duplicative?
Right. So we've got a real good project going with TSA right now, linking Global Entry to their the TSA pre-check pilot, whereas if you're enrolled in Global Entry, you can automatically qualify to receive pre-check benefits. And, you know, we link these two, you know, programs together so people don't have to enroll separately in different ones, and we reduce the overlap and redundancy in that. But yet we leverage each other's expertise in our different arenas because there are different mission sets. And, you know, TSA is focused on, you know, the transportation security aspect of it, whereas in CBP we're focused on, you know, the security and safety, immigration, customs, agriculture, you know, product safety, a whole host of different types of authorities and concerns that we're looking at. You know, a whole, you know, a lot of different pieces of that international arrivals process. So, you know, we each bring different expertise to the table to make sure we've built a process that really supports each other and allows us to leverage each other's expertise and experience in these areas.
You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is John Wagner, Executive Director of Admissibility and Passenger Programs in the Office of Field Operations at U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
From the tropical island of Maui to the top of Capitol Hill, Ardent MC, a hub zone contractor, solves difficult problems. Did you know that a hub zone firm can provide systems integration, agile software development, and program management services to implement complex situational awareness systems? The Department of Homeland Security understands the value. Since 2003, hub zone firm Ardent MC has been a key partner in delivering the department's common operational picture solution, which allows DHS to move information throughout the agency so the right person has the information to make the right decision when supporting state, local, and federal emergency response incidents. Working with DHS, the project was recently awarded the 2012 GCN Magazine Program of the Year. Ardent MC utilizes its HubZone certification to promote technology and employment in underutilized areas like their Maui Software Development Center, which offers a 14-hour engineering day, giving their partners access to their expertise longer. Ardent MC is known for taking the chaos out of complexity. Visit ardentmc.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is John Wagner, Executive Director of Admissibility and Passenger Programs in the Office of Field Operations at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Let's go a little further into the Global Entry Program. How did you evaluate the need for it, develop it, and then implement it?
So it was based on some of the successes we had at the land borders with the Century Program and the Nexus Program, and then the air travel component of Nexus that we built Nexus Air, and looking at, you know, was there a way we could build a secure process and program for the frequent low-risk traveler who understands, you know, the process, understands, you know, what the procedures are, what they're, you know, sort of agreeing to, you know, follow the rules. They understand the rules as a frequent traveler. You know, there's nothing in their past history that shows any noncompliance with laws and regulations, and you know, in our assessment, there were a good risk as far as, you know, continued compliance with the procedures, you know, processing through CBP. So how do we take this group of travelers and instead of subjecting them to the same routine process every time they enter the country, how can we build a separate process for them that allows us, CBP, to expend less resources and time and attention on them so we can rededicate those resources to higher risk populations? You know, all about the risk management and segregation of the traveler. So based on a lot of the success we had at the land borders, we wanted to expand this really to, you know, the international traveler audience, you know, knowing that there's a good percentage of frequent travelers that, you know, might travel a couple times a month or even several times a year, you know, no risk from what we can see that they present to us. And How do we build them an automated process to make sure we're going through all of our compliance checks and all of our regulatory checks and doing the work that needs to be done, but yet in an automated way that frees up resources so we can spend more attention on the people we know less about. So we built the program with that in mind, and you know, we have a self-service kiosk, and the travelers can go through the process of confirming their identity, their admissibility, their customs declaration. It addresses any type of security concerns and risk concerns we have through the process in the background checks we do. And then, of course, there's random checks built in to just to make sure you know, everyone remains compliant. But it really allows us to start to really reinvest a lot of those resources we would ordinarily spend on them.
And how long did that development process take?
It took a couple of years from start to finish, you know, to get the program off the ground, get the technology, get the funding, get all of your regulatory paperwork, you know, drafted and approved and published, federal regulations published on it. You know, so it did take a couple of years start to finish.
And is this built through a contractor or through a government agency?
We build it internally, but then use, you know, individual contracts to actually build the technology. But it's owned and operated by the government and by CBP.
And what other kiosks are you planning?
So looking at that's a success we've had with it. You know, looking at what some of the other border control agencies are doing around the world. We're working very closely with a bunch of airport authorities right now on also designing another type of kiosk that we're calling automated passport control, where travelers wouldn't necessarily have to pre-enroll or get pre-approved to use the kiosk, but yet they can help do part of the CBP inspection process while they're waiting in line. So, for instance, they would come to a kiosk first and take care of some of the administrative portions of what that inspection process consists of. So they would read the passport at the kiosk, answer their customs declaration questions on a touch screen so we can get rid of that paper form so don't have to fill that out on the plane anymore. That data comes to CBP, runs the same kind of database queries as if the officer had run the passport. And then if there's no risk factors present that we see from our database checks, it prints out some type of receipt that they will then hand to the officer from CBP and get more of an abbreviated inspection process. So by doing this, we're taking our CBP officer, you know, we're getting out of some of the administrative process oriented work that we do, but yet focusing on really the critical part of that inspection process of a traveler. And that's questioning them about the purpose and the intent of their travel and looking at their behavioral characteristics as they respond and really making a risk assessment about the person, whether we need to check them, you know, any further than that. But it really allows us to free that officer up now to focus right on that. But the good news is we can shorten the inspection time of the traveler. So it's really adding to our throughput and our efficiency of how we're using our personnel resources. So we'll probably have a couple locations out, you know, either late spring or early summer, you know, working with additional airport authorities in partnership to deliver these as well to additional locations. But we really see this as a way we're helping transform how we do international airport arrivals processing. You know, it's really in partnership with the airports and airlines and a lot of the travel industry because, I mean, we absolutely recognize the significant role that CBP plays in, you know, supporting and travel and tourism increases. And travel's going up, and it continues to go up, and that's a good thing because that's dollars into the economy, that's jobs in the U.S. You know, increased travel and tourism absolutely supports, you know, increased dollars into the economy and a lot of U.S. jobs. So the role CBP can play in that and helping support these increases in travel, you know, and helping encourage people to come to the U.S., you know, it helps strengthen the economy of the United States. And we absolutely want to be on the right side of that. So we're taking a very hard look and critical look at our operations, at the, you know, like the forms you fill out when you come in and, you know, how do we make this as efficient as possible and as facilitative as possible, but yet also address our very, very serious security mission in doing that and not relaxing any of that part, but do it in a way that's unobtrusive and somewhat, you know, almost invisible to a lot of the travelers, but, mm-hmm. You know, so to encourage them to come back and encourage increase, you know, travel and coming to the U.S. But we absolutely see our critical role in supporting that and the benefits to the economy it brings. So We're being relentlessly self-critical in how we analyze our operations and designing things like kiosks and automating forms and, you know, other things we're doing in partnership with the airlines and airports.
You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is John Wagner, Executive Director of Admissibility and Passenger Programs in the Office of Field Operations at U.S. Customs and Border Protection.
From the tropical island of Maui to the top of Capitol Hill, Ardent MC, a hub zone contractor, solves difficult problems. Did you know that a hub zone firm can provide systems integration, agile software development, and program management services to implement complex situational awareness systems? The Department of Homeland Security understands the value. Since 2003, hub zone firm Ardent MC has been a key partner in delivering the department's common operational picture solution, which allows DHS to move information throughout the agency so the right person has the information to make the right decision when supporting state, local, and federal emergency response incidents. Working with DHS, the project was recently awarded the 2012 GCN Magazine Program of the Year. Ardent MC utilizes its HubZone certification to promote technology and employment in underutilized areas like their Maui Software Development Center, which offers a 14-hour engineering day, giving their partners access to their expertise longer. Ardent MC is known for taking the chaos out of complexity. Visit ardentmc.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is John Wagner, Executive Director of Admissibility and Passenger Programs in the Office of Field Operations at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Tell me about that process of being self-critical. How do you balance that customer expectation for faster service with this commitment to safety and security?
It's exactly like building these kiosks, shortening that inspection time with the officer. It's getting rid of paper forms so they don't have to, fill them out on the plane and spend 20 minutes looking for a pen just to fill it out.
And then lose them in baggage claim.
And then lose them, right. Or they're halfway filled out when they arrive, and then we spend the officer time, helping fill out the forms as the line starts backing up. We get a lot of this data already in advance and through our automated systems. So it's about using that and getting ourselves out of the paper form business and relying more on the electronic review of that or the processing of it. And then looking at, good examples, the I-94 form. And this is the form anyone who has a visa that comes to the U.S. Uses this form. It's about 25% of our travelers right now. Well, that form takes us about 25 to 30 seconds of a primary inspection time, of a three-minute process. So it's a pretty good piece of time that, we spend handling it, tearing it in half, stapling it in the passport, stamping it. Then we pay a data contract, actually type the data into a database. But it's very important for other government agencies that rely on that form to do a lot of their critical work, like Citizenship and Immigration Services, the Social Security Administration, Department of Motor Vehicles. So when people come here and, need to get a driver's license because they're legally working here, they need that I-94 piece of paper form to show motor vehicle who can confirm it through CIS, confirm it with us that it's accurate and valid and the person's lawfully admitted. And, it's about working with them so they can adjust their operations. If we go to an automated format of this, that they're able to continue to function. So we don't want to be disruptive to...
So you could actually be too automated.
Right. So we have to work with everyone in consultation and how we do this. But in this case, we're just going to put the form up online so people can print out a version if they need it. But it's really going to save us millions of dollars a year in data entry costs and in officer efficiency and processing times. So hopefully, within the next few months, you'll see us moving forward in getting rid of that paper form. And then, looking at the kiosk to help us get rid of the paper customs declaration, and look into it through automated kiosks. We're doing a lot with smartphone technology now, looking at being able to run a lot of our database queries and our processing through handheld technology.
So is this smartphone technology for CBP officers or for customers or both?
Right now it's for CBP officers. So it's being able to run our database or enforcement queries, but from a handheld device. So we don't have to go back to a desktop to be able to run queries or input examination results. So for instance, we can bring our security checks to wherever we are. So it gives us the flexibility to be able to, to conduct our operations and our procedures, in different environments, in different areas without having to, go back to the office with our handwritten sheets and type the data back into a database or, the officer safety aspect of, You know, when they encounter a traveler, they can have the queries run right through a handheld device right there and get any types of, you know, wants, warrants, enforcement records right there while the traveler's there with them and, you know, in real time. So we really see a great opportunity to expand on this and allow us to be flexible and nimble and innovative on, you know, how we look at our traditional processing and how we can change that going forward.
Now, as a former flight attendant, I'm very interested to hear about the One-Stop Pilot program. What is that?
Well, it's one of our innovative pilots we launched under the Model Ports Initiative, One-Stop, where we looked at travelers that don't have any checked baggage can go to our passport control primary area, which is your first interaction with the CBP officer, and then be fully cleared from that point and go out a side door and exit our processing area. Normally what happens is you would go through that, claim your checked bags, and then go through an egress check. But a lot of our airports aren't set up that. If you don't have any checked bags, you still have to make those two stops to get out. And there's absolutely no reason why we would need to see a person two times if they haven't picked up any checked baggage. So we're currently operating it in Houston right now. We get about 800 to 1,000 people a day using it. You know, it helps the traveler. It helps free up some of our resources. We're not checking the same person twice. For no reason, and we're working with a couple other locations like Chicago and some other airports are looking at, you know, doing some construction to help support this. We run another program called Express Connection. We're doing it at about 11 airports right now, where if a traveler has a real short connection time, the airline can work with us to identify those people, and we can get them through the process quickly so they can make their connecting flights and help us start to reduce the missed connections.
How do you work with the airlines to get that information about a short connection time?
So the airlines will identify the passengers through their own reservation systems and then bring us a list each day because we all know who's coming in you know, before the flight even takes off. So they can identify and analyze that data and then bring us a list, hey, these people really need to get through to make their connection. So we'll set up a processing area to get them through and get them to meet their connecting flights. But it's all driven by the carriers. So you know, they're the ones that have to identify the people to be able to do it.
And what advice would you give to a young person who may want to embark on a career at CBP? What do they need to know to be prepared for today's agency?
Well, I would highly encourage anyone who's interested to consider us for you know, for future employment. It's a great agency. The strength of the agency really is the people within it that. You know, that operate it, and it's the men and women out there working round the clock around the world, you know, keeping trade and travel secure and efficient, and you know, and keeping our economy going by doing this. But it's an incredible opportunity. We have officers stationed all over the world now. There's many opportunities. The benefits are great. You know, it is a really good and rewarding career, and really the sense of mission. You know, the focus on anti-terrorism, the focus on keeping. You know, air travel safe and secure, you know, protecting the U.S. and our allies and interests against terrorism and really having a frontline role in being able to do that is a very rewarding opportunity.
Mr. Wagner, thanks for joining us on the Agency of the Month.
Great. Thanks for having me.
John Wagner is Executive Director of Admissibility and Passenger Programs in the Office of Field Operations at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. I'm Gillian Bruckhill.
You've been listening to the Agency of the Month, sponsored by Ardent MC on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This month's agency is the Department of Homeland Security. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month. Agency of the Month, Thursday mornings at 10 AM, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.